Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of The Best the Flesh Can Do. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 7 verse 14 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Now as we begin to look at this chapter, we have to remember that Paul has already told us in the sixth chapter numerous times that sin no longer has the death grip on us that it once had. That we're no longer enslaved to sin. That was his whole point in the entire sixth chapter. So it doesn't make any sense to think that he would come back around in the seventh chapter and contradict what he's already said and tell us that we're back in a position as he describes here in the 23rd verse of being brought into captivity to the law of sin. You see, he's already said we're freed from that. But is it possible that we're not really free, that we're really once again brought into captivity? I don't think so. Let me remind you of what he said in the sixth chapter. Chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be the slaves of sin, or to use the terminology here, that we should no longer be held captive by sin. In the 14th verse, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And then in verses 17 and 18, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. And one more, verse 22, but now having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So all through the sixth chapter, he's telling us that what's happened to us as a result of our union with Christ is we've been delivered from this captivity to sin. But yet here in the 23rd verse of the seventh chapter, he says, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So because of that, I just do not see that it's possible, because of course the apostle is not contradicting himself. I don't see that it's possible that we could identify this person and this experience as a Christian. So the number one reason I don't see this as a Christian is because it contradicts what Paul's already said. Second reason is because that view opens the door to excuse sinful behavior as beyond my ability to control, when that is the very opposite of what Paul said in Romans 6:12. You remember there he said, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So I believe that this is referring to an unregenerate person, but it's an unregenerate person who has come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, as Paul said that he did at a certain point. It's an unregenerate person who has been awakened to the reality of the righteous standard of God and is realizing their inability to attain to it. Now, remember, Paul had said earlier in the seventh chapter, he talked about being alive without the law once. He said, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. There came a point in Paul's life, for much of his life as a Jew and as a Pharisee, he believed that he was perfectly fine. He was a good, committed, devoutly religious Jew. He was keeping the law. His understanding of the law was external. But the commandment came at a certain point. It dawned on Paul that God wasn't only concerned with his outward behavior, but the law was meant to govern his heart. It was meant to govern his desires. He didn't understand previously this issue of covetousness. But when he read that, you shall not covet, he realized that he was full of desire, wrong desire. So what we have here, I believe, is Paul describing himself. He's describing the experience of a man under the conviction of sin, aware of the spiritual nature of the law, trying in his own power to keep the law, driven by his own experience to the admission that he is a slave to sin. Now, in the eighth chapter, Paul speaks of the carnal mind, which is at enmity with God, and he says the carnal mind is death. He speaks of the spiritual mind. Those who are spiritually minded, the spiritual mind is life and peace. But then I want to interject what we might call the convicted mind. And there is a place for some people where there comes a point where things begin to dawn on you, conviction begins to take hold of your life, and quite often what happens when a person becomes convicted of their sin is they turn to religion or to law to try to justify themselves. I can completely relate to what Paul's saying here because I did something similar in my own experience. He has this revelation. He comes to this whole new understanding about the law. And so now he's determined to live according to the law in its truest sense. He's going to not just externally conform to it, he's going to bring himself into total conformity to it. But the harder he tries, the more he realizes that he can't do it. And so he says legitimately, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. He looked at the law. Yes, it's good. It's right. I understand that. So again, you know, for people to argue that, you know, the unregenerate man couldn't say that, I think you could disprove that by looking at many of the Old Testament saints. The Old Testament saints, of course, they did have an experience with God. It wasn't exactly the same kind of experience we have because we know from Hebrews that we have a better covenant than they had. But of course, with Paul, he had this delight in the law of God as a Jew. But then he comes to appreciate it. But then he comes to a point, he says, I delight in it according to the inward man. But there's a problem beyond that. I delight in it according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So you see, this is Paul's point. He will no longer, from this point forward, address really this issue of the law. He will refer to it in different ways when he goes into the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapters, but he no longer is arguing the law's inability to save after this point. This is his final word, and it's absolutely conclusive. And he demonstrates it, I think, by his own personal testimony as a Pharisee. So I see this other law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. And so when Paul cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am," he's talking about that man who's trying to be justified under the law. "Oh, wretched man that I am," notice what he says, "who will deliver me from this body of death?" He's talking about this law of sin and death. Who's going to deliver me from this body that is cursed by this law of sin and death? Now, notice, he doesn't remain there. He doesn't remain there. It's not, "Oh, wretched man that I am," and that's the end of it. "I'm just a wretched man, and that's just the way I'm always going to be." No, he's crying out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me?" What does he say next? "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus is the answer. He's the one that delivered me. Now, if we follow his thought through, and just taking it from right there, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Now listen to this. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." You see, Paul is talking about being free from the law of sin and death. He's going back to what he was saying previously in the sixth chapter. But he's taken this little bit of a detour just to address the issue of the law once and forever. But now he brings us back around to the fact that the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has freed us from this thing that he's talking about in verse 23. "The law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Now, if we were to take the position that the seventh chapter is talking about a Christian, then I want you to notice the very last thing Paul says in closing the seventh chapter. He says this, "So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Is that how it's left for us as believers? The best I can do as a believer is serve God with my mind. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to be obedient to you, God. I want to do your will. But the reality is, I've got this law of sin in my members, and that's what's holding me captive. That's not the gospel. That's not what we've been taught. I think the reason that commentators so often take this to be a believer is because as believers, we do have similar kinds of experiences when we attempt to be sanctified by the law. If I am approaching my Christian life from a legal point of view, then I'm going to be having a similar kind of experience. I'm going to be trying to do things and seeing that I'm coming short. And then I'm going to live in a perpetual state of condemnation. So our sanctification is no more dependent on the law than was our justification. The law doesn't contribute to our sanctification. When Paul talks about this to the Galatians, he talks about the battle between the flesh and the spirit, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another. That's the reason why you don't do what you want to do sometimes. But what is the solution? He says the solution is to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And as I immerse my life in the Spirit, as I just allow the Spirit to dominate my life, then there is this natural thing that happens. It's a supernatural thing, but it appears almost natural because I'm not putting forth any effort. I'm just yielding. I'm just resting in the Lord, in his finished work, and he is doing that work through me. And so I find that things that I could not conquer, even though I gave it my best effort, I find that when I begin to walk in the Spirit, those things just drop off me. They just vanish. When I was in that legal state, I remember one of the things that I thought I should do rightly was change the way I talked. I needed to get rid of the vulgarities and the obscenities and those kinds of things. And so in that season of really putting forth that effort to do that, you know, to justify myself, to make myself right, to clean my life up. That was the mentality that I had. I'm going to clean my life up, and then I'm going to go to God and say, look what I've done. Here I am. Take me. I'm yours. I had it all backwards. But so many people have it backwards. But like I said, so, okay, the language thing. I thought, all right, you know, I got to get this under control. This is not good. I hear people talking like I talk, and I thought, oh, that's disgusting. I don't want to talk like that anymore. So I put forth my greatest effort to curb my language. And I did pretty good for a few weeks. I did pretty good. I mean, considering, you know, the way I talked, it was pretty amazing. I did all right. But all it took was one incident that just threw me over the edge, and all of my success was wiped out in a matter of seconds. All the times that I had restrained, it just in one incident, I just made up for it 100 times over. And then I just threw up my hands and thought, oh, I can't do it. But when I became regenerated, when Christ came in to my life, you know what happened? That just disappeared. I didn't even have to try. I didn't even have to say to myself, now you need to watch your language. You're going down to the church. They don't talk like that over there. Be on your guard. I didn't need to do anything like that at all. As a matter of fact, it was a few months that passed, and all of a sudden one day it dawned on me. I haven't used any of those words. They're just gone. You see, that's the work of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit does. And I think what happens so often to us as Christians is, having begun in the Spirit, again, Paul writing to the Galatians, we seek to be made perfect in the flesh. We come to the Lord and we just believe in Jesus and we receive that grace, and God's doing this thing in our life. And then, I don't know how it happens. Sometimes it happens through the influence of other people. Sometimes it happens through things we might read or whatever. But all of a sudden we get locked into some legalistic type of a thing. And our joy's gone. And then we find that we're starting to struggle with things again. And these habits that we just were freed from, they start to creep back in. And we, no, I can't, I gotta. And yet it doesn't seem to work. It won't work. Because you can't overcome the flesh with the flesh. The flesh can only be overcome by the Spirit. And so Paul, here is the answer. O wretched man that I am, yes, that is my condition by nature. I cannot do anything about that. Even the holy, just, and good law of God cannot do anything to change that situation. You know, think about this for a moment. How could we ever think even at all that somehow law could change our hearts? If you just think of law just in the purest sense of what it is, law is just simply a restraint. Law only exists because there is a natural inclination and tendency to do wrong. All law does, it keeps a check on the wrong. It can't do anything else except keep a check on it. That's all it does. That's why Paul says in writing to Timothy, the law is not made for a righteous person. If people are righteous, you don't need laws. The reason law exists is because sin exists, is because of unrighteousness. So for us to even think that somehow law would be the thing that would transform us, justify us, make us different, it's, if you just think it through, you realize that that position is utterly absurd. And this is where this is what Paul has come to understand. He's come to understand the law is holy, just, and good. The law is not the problem. The problem is I am a wretched man. And I need someone outside of myself to deliver me. I can't deliver myself. And of course, there is someone outside of us. And so I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's purpose here has been to show clearly that if you are under the law, sin has dominion over you. Remember what he said in verse 14 of chapter 6. Sin shall not have dominion over you. But he's describing a man here, sin has dominion over him. Why? Because he's under the law. Paul says you're not under the law. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under the law, you're under grace. And so as we're under grace, and as we just keep receiving that grace, as we just keep walking in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thing that he said here in the 8th chapter, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we'll get much deeper into this later, but this is, it's another way of really describing the grace of God. Just like there's a law of sin and death, there's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and that law sets us free from the law of sin and death. So it comes down to more Jesus. Maybe you're battling with the flesh, and maybe you can really relate because you think to yourself, you know, I have been trying harder than ever to overcome these things, and it seems like the harder I try, the worse things get. What's the solution? Is there an answer? Yes, there is. But it's not in what you've been trying to do. The answer is in Jesus Christ. Thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The answer is you just diving into Jesus, immersing yourself in Jesus. When Paul says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, what he's really describing, you know, the word walk is, Paul uses that term to sort of speak of our lifestyle. A lifestyle of the Spirit. As I just orient my lifestyle toward the Spirit, as I'm immersing myself in the things of the Spirit, as I'm just seeking the Lord, I'm in His Word, I'm communicating with Him in prayer, I'm getting together with God's people, I'm out serving the Lord in some way or another, and as I just immerse myself in that life, those things that I've been trying so desperately to have victory over, they just fade away. They just fade away. And so that's the solution. The problem is we are incapable in our flesh of doing what needs to be done, but Christ has done it for us. And so we lay hold of that as God's people. We remember, as we look there in the 6th chapter, remember those steps. We know certain things. What do we know? We know that the old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be put out of business. We know that. It's a fact. And we act upon it. We consider it to be a fact. So knowing it, we reckon it to be true. The old man is dead. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. And then what do? We do not present our members as instruments of unrighteousness, instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but we present our members as instruments of righteousness to God. And as we do that, as we're just immersing ourselves in Christ, in the things of the Spirit, we find that beautiful victory, that glorious release. Thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the one that delivers us from the old man, the wretched man who can't save himself.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Why Can't We Be Good? But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Best the Flesh Can Do. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0134. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBroderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBroderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.